You know, when I was finishing up the series on the fruit of the Spirit, I was challenged last Sunday night by a dear brother in Christ who said, "You talked about the fruit of the Spirit. God told me you ought to talk about the fruit of the devil." I said, "Well, God didn't speak to me yet about that, but I'll keep that in mind." Well, Monday morning comes around and that thought just kept sticking around. So I thought, okay, this morning I'm going to talk about the fruit of the devil, because I thought last week I did, but I didn't. We read the text, the same text that we read this morning, but I was speaking of the flip side of that text, because in that text, one of the phrases that was used was the lack of self-discipline in the last days, and I was dealing with self-discipline. So I thought, okay, he's correct. I didn't talk about the fruit of the devil. I talked about the fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, you know, it's kind of a negative one in a way, but I always have to leave on a high note, on a good note, because I'm not one that wants to preach bad news. I want to preach good news. But it's good to know about the bad news so you can find out what the good news is. And so I want to do that a bit this morning. You know, some of you may watch some of the police kinds of shows on TV and see some of this forensic stuff they do. You know, my point here this morning is, if we can identify the fruit, then we can identify the producer of that fruit. Okay? And then when we watch those TV shows, and they say, okay, you know, here's the crime that was committed, and they pick up this little bullet here, and it's shaved a certain way when that bullet has been shot, and we can find out what gun was used for that particular bullet, or they find the DNA, and so they go in the database and they find the DNA, and so you can kind of match the crime with the suspect. And of course, it always seems on TV they always find the suspect, don't they? In real life, I was only a police officer for a little while, but a lot of the police officers here, you know, you don't always solve the crime. But I love those shows, and in the way that it gets to the end and you find out where those lead. And I think if we can identify the fruit, we can identify the producer. And maybe that's this morning why I also want to talk about the fruit of the devil. Who does it lead to? You know the statement, the devil made you do it? Well, the devil never made you do anything, but the devil certainly influences us to do it. He knows how to push our buttons. See, the devil knows your weaknesses and mine. Now, your weaknesses may be a whole lot different than my weaknesses are. But the devil knows how to push it. And he'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing on that button. And unless you and I are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes what transpires from something like that is we end up producing the fruit of the devil instead. I need to make a choice. Am I going to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit? Allow God to fill me with the fruit of the Spirit, or am I going to ultimately be producing the opposite of that? Does that fruit bring life or death, help or hindrance? You know, it's just like some of these TV shows about living out in the wild. And there are certain plants or berries that if you were to eat them, you'd probably end up croaking. Because they aren't good fruit. They're bad fruit. And just like that too, there is good fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the devil, which leads to destruction. Those wild berries in the woods might be good or they might not be good. You need to know what is good and what is not good. We need to know what is righteous and what is not righteous. We need to know the fruit of the Spirit, and we also need to know the fruit of the devil. I've always been really nervous about, you know, people go out and do mushroom hunting. Now, I like mushrooms, but I'll never do it. Because there's a lot of poisonous mushrooms out there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get the wrong one, and I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to be sick. So I let everybody else do it, and I'll eat their mushrooms. Because I don't know. But if I'm going to hunt for mushrooms, I want to know the good ones from the bad ones. And hunt for the good ones. And sometimes the good ones look kind of similar to the bad ones, but there is a difference. And you know, the devil plays the same game. It says in Matthew 7:15, he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah, I know all about sheep. I can tell you a sheep. I know what a sheep is. Although some people who come from places that are not the country, they think a goat's a sheep or whatever is, you know. I know what a sheep is. And I know what a wolf is. And the devil can look like a sheep. You've got to be aware of that. So he tries to disguise himself in ways that look good. But ultimately, he's about killing and destruction. Paul warns Timothy in this text about bad fruit. He doesn't call it the devil's fruit, but that's exactly what it is. And I know I don't have a lot of time this morning. I wanted to kind of clump these together. And you know, I could have saved us a whole lot of time this morning by saying this. When I look at this text and read every single fruit of the devil, they all center around one thing. Self. Every single one of these, I couldn't do anything but look at it and say it centers around selfishness. It centers around that. And of course, he says, what in dealing with all of this, he talks about what I talked about last week. Lack of self-control is one of the devil's fruit. Every single one of these, when you think about it, deal about self. Let me go through some of these real quickly. I'm not going to, broaden on much of this at all, but just to say this, when I mention these, think about them. And this is exactly what goes on. And when you think about them, you'll realize sometimes that is the fruit that you and I are producing. Lovers of self. That starts with lovers of self. We are lovers of self. The world is wired to be all about me in our fallen nature. It's all about me. And so what do advertisers do? They want to get to what's going to address me and my selfish needs. That's what they want to do. You know, remember the old McDonald's one? You deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's. It's all about me, isn't it? You know, all these commercials, they're all about self. Lovers of self. That's not true love. True love is always about the other. Agape love is always about the other. God's love is always about us. God's love is always about His Son. God's love is always about those He created. When in Genesis, the first chapter, He says what He created was very good. He was all about us. Jesus certainly wasn't about Himself, or He wouldn't have hung on the cross for us. If He was about self, He probably would have stood there, and maybe even if He hung on the cross, He would have ripped His hands off and nailed every one of them. But He wasn't about self. What did He say in the cross? He says, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing." You see, He was never about self. That's agape love. It's never about self. But Satan's fruit, the fruit of the devil, is lovers of self. Now, what this is not saying is we need to have we need to love ourselves, but not in that kind of way. We need to love ourselves because God created you and me. He said it was very good. So you do love yourself, but not in the way that feeds only me and has no regard for anyone else. That's not agape love. That's not that kind of love. So it's just lovers of self, boastful and proud. If you are boastful and proud, who are you about? Me. I'm jacking up myself. It's all about me. So even in the Church of Jesus Christ, sometimes we still want to be all about me. Did you know what I did last week? Do you know who I am? Do you know what good deed I did? And sometimes we take that fruit of the Spirit and we twist it to a point where no longer was it about bringing honor and glory to God. Instead, it was about somehow bringing some kind of honor to me. You shouldn't be about that. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the devil. And taken far enough, it's destructive. What's it say? Here's another one. Leads to abusive behavior. If we are being abusive to someone, we're all about us, aren't we? Something isn't going the way we want it to go. We want to make sure it goes that way. So we are abusive to someone else. It's all about self. See what I'm saying? It's all about self. This whole thing is all about self. If we could name one fruit of the devil this morning, it would be me. Self. All about me. Disobedience to parents or authorities. It's all about me. Ungrateful. unforgiving.
It's all about me.
Being brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited. You see all these words? Every single one of them, they're all about me. Take a break for just a moment. Move back over to the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to these words and tell me if any of these words have anything to do with me. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Do you see any selfishness in any of those? No. You see, Satan is just the opposite of that. It's all about me. And yet, deceptively so, even though he says it's all about me, you know who it destroys? Me. He says it's all about me, but you know what Satan really wants to do? Destroy you. He wants to seek, kill, and destroy. That's what his role is. And so even in showing us all these things that are about self, and we think maybe I'm benefiting from all this stuff. No, he's seeking to kill and destroy and ruin us. And that's what a life led by the fruit of the devil ends up being. Lovers of money. Why do we give in church? Some of you say, so the pastor has a salary. Thank you. But no. You know why we give? It's so that we always have as our priority that we aren't lovers of money. We are lovers of God. And if we are lovers of God, we want to contribute to the kingdom. And I hope and pray that in the Church of Jesus Christ, any church that you may attend, that the purpose of that church is to be about the kingdom of God and not about anything else. And so we give to show God, I love you more than I love this stuff. And he doesn't ask for all of it, does he? You see what I'm saying? In that discipline, we are saying, I am not going to be a lover of money and hoard everything I can get and do everything I want to do with all this money that I accumulate. In America, we are blessed with affluence. Even when they say you're a part of the middle class or the lower middle class or even the higher part of the poor class, we still have so much more than so many people all over the world. Self again, not lovers of the good, because it's the good of others. It's all about me. Lovers of pleasure, because what's that all about? It's about me. Having a form of godliness, it'll fail. Denying its power, because it's all about me. Did you see that in all these verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 3? I could have had us out of here in about 3 minutes. Sorry. Every single one of these words ultimately is about me. Selfishness. And as Christians, we ought to be about Him and about everybody else. If we really lived that way, it'd be amazing how this world would change. But we still struggle with it. Because we're still in that fight. And sometimes we still are influenced by the devil. And we still sometimes are producing the devil's fruit rather than the fruit of the Spirit being produced in us. Here's how he does it. In those last couple verses. So he warns about, Paul warns Timothy about how the devil and his followers work. He worms his way in. He is sneaky. He's really, really good at it. He worms his way in. You know how a worm is? Just kind of finding that little place to get in and do whatever it wants to do. Like that apple I ate a few weeks ago I told you about. He gains control over our weak will. Why are we weak-willed? Because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. We aren't living with the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, we're living in our own selfish strength. And it gains control over our weak will. Our sinfulness causes us to be swayed, and we refuse to acknowledge the truth. That's the way he works in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's exactly what he says. And he actually addresses a couple people in the church that are doing this. So I want to say something in closing. I wasn't going to give the devil nearly as much time as I wanted to give God, with several weeks worth of talking about the different slices of fruit. The devil gets 1 week and that's it. I'm done with it. But I want you to know, we can choose to follow Christ, be filled by His Holy Spirit, and He can produce that fruit of the Spirit in us. Because Satan has no power over believers. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to produce His fruit, not the devil's fruit. And so there's the key, right there. To be filled with the Spirit, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, self has to get out of the way. Because you give that up when you follow Christ. We take it back, don't we? Just like Deb, you were sharing earlier, of how we give it to God and then we take it back. We give it to God and we take it back. We do that, don't we? We do that, don't we? Let's do like Joshua said in the Old Testament. In chapter 24, verse 15, where he said this, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're not going to give the devil a chance at all. So, although Bill's not with us here this morning, you tell Bill when you see him, Bill Doss, I shared with you the fruit of the devil this morning. But I wanted to end on a good note. Because you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're filled with the Spirit of God. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. The devil doesn't have a chance, right? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for these words that we need to hear. Because there are times in my life when I am producing the fruit of the devil, not the fruit of the Spirit. Because I have become more absorbed in myself, in my own selfish needs, and I don't allow you to work the way you want to work in my life. Thank you, God, for the awareness. God, help me and all of us here this morning to no longer be enamored with ourselves, but to be enamored with you, filled with your Holy Spirit, producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in our lives. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.